Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
I like sucking.
Nah, nigga.
Legit bad podcast.
Mega doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Gay Hitler.
Hey, welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe. Jen's here. Ben is here. Oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, he really is. I hit the wrong button, too. That was supposed to be something else. There we go. We got to get Michael Jackson in on it. We are here tonight again with Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracies. We've done probably more shows with you guys than most of our guests, and it's always fun.
Always. Oh, suck it, everyone else. Suck it.
Well, it might be a close tie with Charlie Robinson, but
it's hard to compete. Yeah, he's all right. Char Dog.
He's all right.
He's all over the place. He's everywhere. Everywhere yeah. I look, there's Charlie shows.
Which is funny because guys, Big Country looks like a younger, non-glasses Charlie Robinson.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, there you go.
Yep, there he is. Look at that shit.
Young Charlie. Well, for anybody who hasn't heard these guys yet, go ahead and introduce yourselves and your show and what you guys have been doing lately.
Do it, boy.
No, you gotta sing us in, dude.
That's true. That's true. So, to all the legit baddians, good afternoon, good evening, good day. I am one of the two hosts, I guess.
Pretty much at this point, yeah.
Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcasts. On the other end of the mic,
it's me, boy.
There it is.
I'm the second
thought too.
Yeah.
So we do a conspiracy podcast. We've been running that show for about fucking 4.5 years, almost 5 years now.
God damn. Really?
Yeah. We do one show a week. We're on Spotify. Let's put it this way. We're pretty much on every podcasting platform.
Yes.
And we are on Rockfin, Rumble, Twitch, Kick. For video platforms, we have a premium section that we do, wbctavern.com, $5. Boya does a show with his wife Steph called Smoke Break. They do one show a week on that. It's like 30 minutes long, nice and snippy.
Yeah,
those are fun,
quick little bit.
Yeah. We have another show we're going to be starting very soon called What If. It's like under the umbrella of WBC. And then I do a live show Friday nights on Rumble, Rockfin, Twitch, and Kick called Flat Earth Fridays.
Yeah, we get a lot of heat for Flat Earth Friday.
Dude, I could talk about fucking anything. It don't matter.
Yeah.
I could make up... Okay, dude, do you guys remember... Joe and Jen, you probably have saw this. Ben, I don't know if you saw it yet or not, but it was on our Instagram. I was like goofing off one morning and I pulled up to this gas station. I was going to work and there was fucking, what's that shit? Glitter. There was glitter all over this gas station floor. And I was like, was there a fucking pixie war that happened? So I made a stupid video and I was like, wow, remarkable stuff here, guys, out from Kansas City paranormal hunters. We just saw evidence of another pixie war. Obviously, you guys remember the pixie war of 1552. And so I like flipped the camera and that like got a bunch of likes and people were laughing at it. But if I'm like, hey, you guys know the Earth's flat? They're like, whatever, faggot. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Faggots.
Exactly. What the fuck is your deal?
Hard F.
They get really mad about it, and people still get mad. I just don't even fuck with it anymore. I'm like, it is. I don't care.
To play devil's advocate really quick. I love the argument of whether or not the Earth is flat around. I have no idea what it is, and I love to hear everyone's theories. But a lot of people who believe in flat Earth are very, very angry when they speak their truth, quote unquote.
Looking at you, Moral
they
Bob.
They make fun of people who are on the other side who don't believe it, instead of kindly saying like, hey, I'll help you understand.
Right.
And you have to understand that with the way that we've been taught our whole lives, obviously people are going to have a lot of questions and a lot of walls that need to be broken down before they can even entertain the idea of Earth being flat. And a lot of people who've done all of the research, though, have already done the research, and they can't meet in the middle. It's like a genius trying to teach science to like third graders.
It's extremely difficult. Okay, now to be the devil's advocate to your devil's advocate, ha, touche,
Illuminati.
So well done.
So Big Country has been a flat earther since before I knew him. And we always thought he was fucking with us. We thought like any day he was just going to be like, you guys thought I was a flat earther, you know, but it's not happened. And then he wrote a book. And then like we have this open forum anytime he does Flat Earth Fridays or anybody at any time could DM us or email us and say, I want to come on your show and have a debate. I want to prove to you that the earth is round. Every single time we've made that offer, it's someone who knows without a shadow of a doubt that the earth is round and they're too smart to come on our stupid gay little podcast that no one listens to and debate us. That's stupid. So I don't know how many times we've had people, we've made the offer and they've refused or they've accepted and then something happened. They got diabetes and couldn't do it or something. I don't know.
That's the that's the classic. You're gonna talk shit behind a fence that neither one of you can get over because you know that the fight will never happen.
Yeah,
like he could have made the pixie video and just headlined it as Flat Earth Friday.
Yeah, I don't even care who wins.
Wouldn't have
like,
even watched it. They would have just shit all over it.
Yeah, I want somebody like Dave Weiss or something to debate Neil Mass Tyson, but and it's happened because exactly what you said. He's like, I'm so stupid, I'm not going to even debate it. But they'll talk shit all day on it, but they don't want to debate it.
They have to be able to come and meet in the middle in a place where someone spits out an equation that's in some textbook. They have to ask
what we're asking
and be able to have an adult conversation about why they believe it's incorrect. And then at the end of the day, they have to be able to say, okay, we'll just agree to disagree on this and then move on to the next topic.
Right.
It's the kind of debate I want to hear.
And my favorite, the names that they call flat earthers, flurfer. It's so cute. Like they think that's like a bad or what?
I don't know. There's one guy. It's so funny, man. And I totally understand it's his dialect because I believe if I'm not mistaken, he's Scottish, right?
Okay.
But he is like a globe believer guy, and he has a whole YouTube channel where all he does is like make fun of flat earthers, and he sort of kind of debates them. Except for there's one guy that he had debated, I think, one time, and he got destroyed. And then but he doesn't say flat earth. Because of his dialect, he says flat earther. And I think it's so funny every time I hear him say, he's like, his show is called FTFE, Fight the Flat Earth. And yes, But any, but like, if you pull him up on YouTube, it's so funny when he goes flat earther, and I'm like, dude, I would love to debate you, but you got to work on the R and TH, my guy.
I'm just gonna be laughing the whole debate, just cause.
Yeah. And well, because I could care less either way. I've always said I don't care if it's flatter, even if we discovered one is definitive, like we're still fucked. You know?
Yeah.
But I've always said, since I don't have a dog in the fight, I'm totally willing to debate it. You know, I'm to moderate the debate.
Yeah.
And, but because they want to hold it on our show and Big Country's a flat earther, you know, it's not neutral ground. Well, like, dude, we're not going to shit on you. You know what I mean? We really would
you just... on to tag team.
Yeah, come on.
we need someone to do. Someone needs to just research all of the facts. I'm willing to do this. Research all of the facts that NASA has, and that, you know, every textbook that we've been raised with has, and just have that as bullet points and just say those. They don't have to believe in. I think that would actually be better if it was someone who was just researching the facts that are put down on paper, where they don't really care. They're just saying it, and then have someone who has other flat earth facts just debate that. Who also, I mean, they can be passionate about it, I guess, if they want, but
the first legit hooligan bat.
There you go.
After we held the first bigger flat earth debate, that we kind of, Joe kind of learned, like, oh, okay, we need to make some tweaks here if we're going to do this again. Yeah. I missed the second one. And he was like, it went a lot better than it did the first one. After the first one, I reached out to one of the smartest people that I know, and I won't mention his name. But I reached out to him.
Dude, it's all good.
No, he's a Glober. And so what I did was, I was like, hey, we just did this episode and it was a flat earth debate. Now, when this, I want to say it became more popular around like 2014, like I hadn't heard people that actually believed it was flat.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke.
My whole
life.
Like
Shaq was a flat earther.
I knew they took it out of textbooks in 1890 and I thought that's where it died. And I was wrong. And in 2014, it was like this kind of online resurgence where you could get into groups and stuff like that. And it was the first time that it reached my ears. And I'm like, dude, no fucking way. And this guy shit all over it. So when we had that debate, I reached out to him and he did the exact thing that you guys mentioned. I'm not even going to dignify my time. Ugh.
Yeah,
it's just a waste.
I can't use brain cells on that.
And I'm like, okay, but you don't have to use brain cells if you know it's true.
Right.
So it shouldn't really be an argument, or it shouldn't even be a debate, according to your words.
We have to pose it to
the facts, right?
We have to pose it to people, like, since you're so sure and you know all the stuff, all the facts in your mind, it should be an easy debate, right? Like, you're going to win, obviously. Yeah. No, so, you know.
I love how people know that the earth is round just based on what they're told. Like, we've never seen it before.
Yeah.
We've never seen the whole thing.
It's science.
At all.
Yes, science.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust the science. You have to trust the science. Mm. Yeah. You know, and that, but that's, it like shuts down critical thinking right away. Like, they don't want you to ask any questions. Like, my son blew my mind. I was on Saturday. He was asking about something. He asked me what time it was. And I tell him the time and he's like, why do we have time? Like, who invented time? Who decided that we're having 24 hours in a day? And I like stumbled
that's a big
back
question.
And I go, dude, that's a great question. And he's like,
Morpheus.
Like, I'm just wondering. Like, and I was like, dude, that's a brilliant question. He's 9, you know? I was like, that's great. And I've been asking myself the same question. So let's figure it out together, you know? But it like, they don't want you to ask questions like that, right? Well, why did they take it out of textbooks? Well, you can't ask that, because then they just tell you they took it out because it's a lie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we see what's happening with textbooks today. So we know that even if they said that's a lie.
Yeah.
Well, now they're just manufacturing the truth. They're not giving you real data to back it up. They're just saying, this is how it's been. This is how it's always been.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine if they use Common Core math to try to prove either the flat or globe model? It would end up looking like a triangle.
It would look like your guys' background.
It wouldn't matter what the answer was. It would just matter if they did the work.
Oh, they did the work. They found it.
That's all common. It's
a potato.
We don't really care if you're right. We care about how you tried to get there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, then I don't really care if I walk off a cliff. It's about the foot I used when I jumped.
Like, yeah, well, dude, but think about it. Like, the kids that are being taught this are also the ones that are going to be going to, like, to school to be a doctor, to be a nurse. And they're like, well, he didn't make it off the table, but I tried. So,
well, you said plus he's of this painkiller, and I gave him 84, but I tried, and now he's.
He really seemed like he needed it.
Yeah, that's basically that's all you need anymore to get by in school. You know, they want to level the playing field. So,
you know what's so fucked up about that though is that okay? So you said your son is 9.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a 10-year-old. Joe's son is 11. All around that age.
Right.
I'll never forget when one of my nieces, Brooklyn, she was probably like 11 or 12, and she had been a straight A student, all the extracurriculars, this, that, and the other. And I remember the year that they integrated it at the local school that she goes to. And it was the first time that she had gotten a B in something that she had never gotten less than an A in. And right. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she goes, well, that's what's infuriating about it is that she knows how good she is at this, and she knew that she got the right answer. And if you were to look at her work versus her work previously, it matched up perfect to every other thing that she would have gotten an A for.
Right.
But because they had changed how you got there, she ended up getting a B. And she goes, dude, that like that whole straight A from grade school, you know, on up that I was shooting for, they just fucked all of that, even though I got the right answer.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's in the name of social justice now. You don't have to be smart.
Is racist. You know that.
I do want to say this about like at least all the research that I've done with Flat Earth over the past like 6 years, and then doing the Flat Earth Friday show, and then listening to debates, as many debates as I can find. And actually, a really good neutral platform to listen to debates on is Modern Day Debates. Really good. And then, you know, writing the book, and looking at how the book came out and then planning on the second edition for it, what it has done, I think for me overall, is it like elevated my level of critical thinking. And I think that's one topic that is uniquely can do that. And that's not to say that like all these other conspiracies that we talk about don't do that. But I remember I was doing, a Flat Earth Friday show. And then in the comment section the next day, this person, like, because we get pretty much steady followers on Rumble. And that's one of the only shows we put on Rumble is just that one. And some people will jump in there that are new and they're watching it, right? And I remember this one person, I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, but because those are your only options. so they were like, really great show, really great stuff. I just wish, you know, you wouldn't like cuss as much, right? And some people were like, you know, why does it even bother you? That type of thing. And I said, no. But I was like, it's a valid point that this person's making. I go, but you're asking the wrong question, right? You're saying the wrong thing. What you should be asking is, who told you that was a bad word? Like, if you go back to the time thing, right? Yeah. Who said like, fuck shit, bitch, cock, balls? Like, don't say those. Oh, no. Like, boner, right? Like that is like that's, and years ago I never would have been like, I would have been like, you know what, you don't like the way I fucking talk, why don't you suck a dick, you know what I mean? But I was like, because I thought about it myself and I was like,
yeah,
fuck, who did say that we can't say that? Like, who was the deciding? They're like, ooh, that one.
Mm-mm. Right, put it on the list.
Put it on the list
for saying certain things on TV. It's
I mean, it depends on your country, though.
That's like, what I was about to say.
Bloody is terrible, and cunt is totally acceptable.
Bloody wanker is like the worst over there. Sorry to everyone in Britain who just heard me say that, but it's hilarious because over here you say bloody wanker, and you're like, okay, what?
Like, was she on her period? Or?
You should see a doctor like immediately.
Yeah.
No, it's funny too, because like, fuck, I just looked this up less than a week ago. We were talking about fuck, and I brought up the story about how a World War One dude got kicked out of the army, and on his dishonorable discharge paper, it was because he said, with all due respect, Sergeant, fuck you. And this was like 1909. And I was all, dude, no
easy way to
way.
Get out. Oh.
I was like, they're so, this has got to be made up. So I look up the origin of fuck. Dude, the first time fuck came in like as a written word was like in the 1600s. Yeah. I had no idea. And it was in a different language. And of course, you know, affrication keeps, you know, fucking all of our language to mean different things. But I was like, oh my God, the fuck is a 400-year-old word. I have so much more power
right?
to say that now.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
To my understanding, like, I think that word was originally an acronym for back at that time, 1600s, under the rule of Britain, before you could consummate your marriage, you had to have permission from the royal family. And so fuck is fuck under consent of king. That is the acronym of fuck.
Fornicating under consent of king?
Yeah, fornicating. Yeah, fornication under consent. Yeah, fucking under consent of king.
I was going to say.
Fornication under consent of king. Yeah,
thank you for calling the redundancy office of redundancy.
Yeah, like, how does that work? What I want to know is how fuck became everything. You can say we're fucked, you're getting fucked, fuck off, fuck you, fuck this. Or there's many uses. It's an all-purpose word.
Probably because they had to get permission from the king to consummate their marriage, and they're like, "That's fucked up."
Yeah,
I mean, they just like, realized just that it was messed up, the and they're like, "Fuck is a terrible thing. We shouldn't have to fornicate under consent of king." So like, now it's just a bad word to us.
Fuck is
it was
good,
a form of rebellion,
but and then it's fuck. Yeah. I wish I could fuck blasphemy. Without a fuck.
Guess what, honey? The king said we can fuck.
Yeah. Oh, maybe your letter with the little wax seal on it. Look what I got.
It says fuck.
Yeah. Oh, I do say I'm going to rearrange your insides.
Oh my God, babe. I just got the statement. We're pre-approved to fuck.
Got pre-qualled last week.
Yeah, last week. 3 to 5 business days, we'll get our license and we're at it.
I mean, it funny. Sounds funny, but it's really not that much better now. I mean,
right?
It's a lot more paperwork, I guess, these days, but
it's like buying a house.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have through those hoops just to get off. Like, Jesus.
Dude, I mean, when we went to go get our, when my wife and I went to go get our marriage license, we got this super racist lady that would not help us. We walked in and she like looks at her and looks at me and she's like, "Can I help you?" I'm like, "Yeah, we need to get our marriage license." She's like, "I'm busy." I'm like, "Okay, well, can someone else help us?" And she's like, "Nope." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?
This is the county clerk."
And then this other couple walks in behind us. She's like, "How can I help you?" Like, "We need a marriage license." She's like, "Right over here." And I was like, "Hold up." And I fucking like paused everything. I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me right now?" And then her boss walks in. She's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "We showed up. We had an appointment to get our marriage license. This lady said she wouldn't help us, that she was busy or on lunch or whatever. Then this couple comes in and she helped them right away." And she was like, "Excuse me?" And I was like, "Yeah. So what's the deal?" And she's like, "I can help you guys right over here." And she was like super apologetic and fucking very sweet, made everything way better. But I was like, oh my God, I've fucking never had that happen before.
So were the couple that came in after you, were they like two white people or something?
They were definitely a lighter shade of me. You know what I mean?
Just a couple of Aryans walking.
Which shade is your wife?
Oh, my wife is white. She's like big country white. Yeah.
Yeah, she's Aryan.
So she was like, "Ma'am, are you here under duress?"
Yeah, you know, she's like doing the thing to my
help. Do
that. Yeah, it was super weird. And it's literally like one of the few times that I've experienced like true racism. But it was like so blatant after that other couple walked in. And I was like, "What the fuck?" And I was telling my wife, I said, "You know what's really fucked up is she probably was like, 'I'm not letting that Mexican marry that white chick.'" And I'm like, she probably didn't even have the race right. That's the worst part of the whole fucking thing.
You're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been way more ostracized than the Mexican." Yeah. Okay.
Like, listen, no Puerto Ricans allowed. Now get out of here.
Let me give you a brief history.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I would say you're more white than not. Like, I know the camera adds like 10 shades of whiteness, but I mean, look at big country, but
yeah,
I guess I'd meet you in person, but you don't look dark. You don't look like a brown.
In person, I'd say I look, but I have every single speeding ticket I've ever had. They have put down that I'm Hispanic, without asking. Right.
You should be able to get right out of it. In my opinion,
I've tried and they're like, "Come on,
They're like, yeah, but it's not me. You're right. You're not Hispanic. Were you speeding? Fuck.
Yeah. So, but
fuck stamp.
But yeah, it's honestly depends on the season. In summer, I'm much darker. In the winter, I lighten up. You know,
that's kind of how things work. Yeah.
You should totally do that next time you get pulled over. Hola.
No, I'm English.
Yeah, dude, it's wild.
Do you have your green card? No, but I have a marriage license finally.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, lady told me. Well, shit, I could get a lot of things if I was an illegal alien. You know, I could.
You'd look housing. Great on paper.
Oh yeah, I could be a cop.
Oh well, I don't know if you'd want that. I mean, ask Chris.
Yeah. Bazinga.
What's going on with your background? Is that a moon?
Yeah, it's. I thought I would throw the moon in there.
That's no moon.
Tell us about that. Like in your research, in your book, which is book out now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. We'll put a link to it.
Find it on Amazon?
Available everywhere, only at Amazon.
What's it called?
Can be delivered almost everywhere.
Yeah, so I guess as far as the book is concerned, how I kind of did it is I kind of told a brief story about how I kind of got introduced to the topic 6-7 years ago. I kind of compare it to overall the playing of chess, right? I categorize like us we are the pawns, right? We're the pieces that you sacrifice to move ahead. The middle level pieces would be like your celebrities, your influencers, your politicians, your sportscasters, things like that. And then of course, you know, your king and queen would be your president, your vice president, things like that. But if you notice like on a chessboard, right? So you have, a rook on one side and then a rook on the other side, right? So you have two rooks on each side of the board, right? But that I make the analogy of like the rook on the left is the Democrats and the rook on the right is the Republicans. So if you move forward as a pawn and you were to turn around, then you would actually notice that they're on the same side of the board. Right. But you don't ever notice that because they're telling you where to go. Right. But the real question is who's actually playing the game? Right. Because we're all just pieces on this board, right? But yeah, I kind of break it down as to circumstantial evidence and then actual evidence or what I categorize as actual evidence, right? Circumstantial evidence would be like easily proving that we did not land on the moon, that NASA lies all the time. That has nothing to do with the Earth being flat.
Right.
But it leads you down this path of starting to ask questions about, well, we're giving these motherfuckers $100 million a day. So what exactly are they doing? And when you get into more of the evidence portion of it is where it kind of gets, I don't want to say hard to understand, because I think I did a pretty good job of breaking it down as simplistic as I could, but it gets a lot more along the lines of the scientific aspect of it. So, you know, for example, one of the things that kind of did it for me was a test that was proposed by an engineer. He had suggested that if you were to take like a horizontal, let's just say I-beam, like a steel I-beam, horizontal I-beam, and I leveled it and I put it in line, and I had a stretch of 5 miles, right? So I have a line of horizontal steel I-beams leveled all in a row. And then I take another set of I-beams and I lay it horizontal. So that would be level, right? And then I have another horizontal or a vertical I-beam, right? That's plumb. Okay, you're making a right angle. And I use a level on the top row all the way down 5 miles. And then if you use like a speed square or like a rectilinear device, and I do the same thing on the bottom, I'm not using a level, I'm just forcing a right angle, right? So I'm not actually leveling it. I'm just creating that right angle off a plumb and a level. And I do that 5 miles. You can insert it in AutoCAD and you should come up, if the Earth is curving, you should be about 36 inches of difference between top and bottom. And I proposed this question because I got to get rid of that. Fuck, it's bothering me. But he poses this question and it struck me because I'm in construction. I know that if I had a stretch of land 5 miles long and I leveled a steel I-beam that whole way, providing there's no topographical change, that steel I-beam will never start to bend with the curve of the earth, right? Because steel I-beams don't bend. There's one called the Black Swan observation, where the physical curve of the earth for the globe side is said to be the horizon. It's the point that we can see where the sky appears to meet the ground.
Right.
Their claim is that that is actually the curve of the earth. Now, there's observations that have been made to where you can see the horizon in the picture, but then beyond the horizon, you can still see other objects. Now, it was posed as an equation. Somebody did the equation for it, and it goes like this. So it's posed as a Modus-Tollens argument. And Modus-Tollens says, if P, then Q. If not Q, then 4, not P. So it's, if the Earth is a sphere with a radius of 3,959 miles, then the horizon can be no more than 1.225 times the square root of the observer's height in feet. So, break that all down. If I am 1 foot off the ground, essentially, the horizon can be no more than 1 mile away, essentially. Right?
We'll be right back after this quick ad break, so get the skip button ready. But if it doesn't play, well, lucky you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The Black Swan observation is the horizon is further than that. So this is declaring then that that is not the physical curve of the Earth and it's measurable. I've heard both sides of the argument for the Globers trying to kind of save themselves by saying that there is a physical geometric curve, but you'll never see it because of refraction or whatever. It's always there. You'll just never be able to see it. So it's kind of weird in my opinion. So I try to go through some of the more scientific arguments that I got through with Flat Earth. And there's lots of other things that I really didn't get to talk about in the first one until I released the second edition, like time zones. If the Earth is a perfect symmetrical sphere, like they say it is, even though Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about it being like a fucking pear or whatever.
Pear shaped.
We should have 24 symmetrical time zones and we don't. We have like 35. There's like portions in the ocean that's just 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're flattening it out and stretching land in certain areas. I mean, if anybody doesn't know that like the maps of the Earth are skewed on purpose, like you just really haven't done enough research. Like,
yeah,
if you look at the maps now, like America's always in the center, right? Yeah. Africa's tiny. It's off to the side.
Yeah.
And like all of Europe plus America and most of South America would fit into Africa. Like Africa's monstrous.
There's a really cool tool called the realsizeof.com, I think is what it is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It shows what it looks like on a map, and then you drag the US over to like Africa and you realize how small it fucking is compared to Africa. Africa's fucking huge.
Like Greenland is another cool one because Greenland is always pictured as being a gigantic body of land right next to the United States, and you pull it down and it fits into the United States.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Same thing is with Russia. Russia is vast. Once you take the top curve where where Siberia is at, and you actually flatten that out to what the measurement would be. Same thing is with China. Like the whole fucking
huge. Yeah. I mean, I would even entertain the idea that I don't think anything is where we think it is. Like we have an idea of what it kind of looks like on a map, right? Because we've been shown that. But there's no way for us to actually verify it unless we were to go out and survey our own data points and travel across these longitude and latitudes to try to plot out these points and then measure it all out. I mean, like, first of all, I don't know how to do that.
That's restricted airspace and shit then, too.
Well, I mean, exactly. It's not a conspiracy that nobody can go past the south 60th latitude.
Right.
Everyone said, "Oh, you can go down to Antarctica whenever you want." Oh, fucking okay. Yeah. Go ahead, try.
Yeah, you can to certain spots.
Yeah,
You only go so far though.
Come over here.
Exactly. There.
I found a cruise that you can take, and it's not that expensive because we were talking about it. I don't know, a few years ago that you could go down to expeditions, but it was like $10,000 and obviously a guided tour. But there's a cruise that takes you right to Antarctica, and the only caveat, though, is you have to be COVID vaxxed still right now.
Ooh, I'm out.
COVID vax, right? I know.
To look at fucking penguins? What are you talking about?
There's no penguins in the South Pole, dude.
No, it's to let them know that if they take you, you're going to buy whatever bullshit they feed you.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
That is the pre-flight bacon before you go. Is it's to make sure it's like, well, hold on a second. We only want people that are going to eat the bullshit. So you got to be COVID vaxxed.
Yeah,
I remember a couple years ago when a lot of this flat earth stuff started getting a little more traction, there was like immediately a story of a hiker that hiked across Antarctica or something like that. And I remember seeing the supposed map of where he went, and it was kind of a section of Antarctica from like, I can't remember the exact path he took, but it's not like he walked from one end to the South Pole,
right?
And the other side,
like landed on one coast and then walked to the other coast.
And they monitored him the whole time.
Or they just made up the line on the TV, you know?
Well, I think that's one interesting thing about like circumnavigation. I was actually asked that the other day, talking about how, well, you can go, you know, 360 degrees, therefore sphere. I'm like, no, like a circle can be flat, but the Earth has never been circumnavigated north to south or south to north. It's never been done. Now, they'll say that they've done it, but if you look at the route they took, they basically start in the north, go down to the south, turn around, and come back. It's like running a marathon halfway and then going back to the start. They didn't pop up the other side. It's never been done. Now, again, like that, in my opinion, like that's I would call that circumstantial evidence, right? I wouldn't say that proves that the Earth is a flat stationary plane. But I look at it from, and I talk about this in the book, like the one thing that is ubiquitously true, it doesn't matter where you are, is that you will never sense motion, right? So that means you don't sense the rotation of the Earth. You don't sense the orbit of the Earth. And everything looks pretty fucking flat, right? It doesn't matter if I go south of the equator, north of the equator, to Europe, Asia. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Everything is pretty flat. As a matter of fact, there was a geological study that was done in 2015, and they wrote a recent article about it in 2018 with some updated results at the University of Kansas, because there's this weird cliche thing that like Kansas is flatter than a pancake. Well, so what a group of geologists did is they took an international house of pancakes, and they measured the thickness of it. Right. And it was like it was 0.01 was the thickness, the flatness of a pancake. Kansas is flatter than a pancake, but it's not the flattest. It's like the seventh. Florida is technically the flattest. And it's about 20 other states in the union that are flatter than a pancake. And so I was like, okay, so how many flat states do you need to connect to make a ball? Right? And they're like, well, the curve is gradual. You would never see it. I'm like, yeah, but see, the problem with that, kind of getting back to the math that I was talking about, is this is really where they fuck up, because I mentioned this like in subsections of the book. It's called, I call it Math Will Be Their Downfall, because they give us the measurable distances.
Yeah.
So I can use math to determine that either the Earth is way bigger than what you say it is, and maybe there is curvature, it's just not measurable on this smaller scale, or physically your Earth is not curving. It has to be one or the other, right? You can't, because you can't have right. both,
right.
right? So if you tell me that the Earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, that gives me a radius of 3,959, and I'm measuring something, and there is no deviation of any kind of curvature off of a linear plane, like, you're wrong. I don't.
Yeah.
Does that prove a flat Earth? Maybe, right?
Yeah. But it seems like to be like, yeah, well, it's so gradual you can't even see it. Like, that's kind of a cop out answer. You know what I mean?
Well, to play devil's advocate, the question that I was going to bring up to you is, with those, shall we say, different pockets of flat ground, a golf ball is round, and that's with opposite divots. Could it be something of that nature? Like, not quite like a tetrahedron or something like that, where it's flat surfaces, you know, spliced together at points, but where it's actually like, no, it's round and it's smooth, but there's actually opposite directive dips in it, except for this is an opposite direction. It's just flat. Is it like I said, just to play devil's advocate, I want to hear what your answer is.
I would say that the only way that that would be possible is if those pockets and divots are outside of where we're even allowed to travel. That would be the only way, I guess, we could confirm that.
Kind of like we are in that larger sphere that you're talking about, and our whole existence or plane is one of those divots.
Yeah, like oh, pretend no. all of the
golf
continents.
Ball Earth? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. Yeah.
Well, but think about it this way.
You've been in some new shit.
Think about it this way. Think about it that, let's just say the continents that we know of, right, are all surrounded by a ring of ice that holds all of our oceans in, and that is the pocket. Now, beyond that, what if it starts to travel down and break off into something? I'm sure.
That brings up that whole five-hour documentary we talked about a couple of freaking years ago. That
look,
it's the ice look that at goes this. Around. Oh my God,
fuck, I'm looking.
What was yeah, it? Your soul you fell out of your ass.
Yeah,
Oregon came out and kind of like retracted a lot of the things he said about mud flood. Maybe I can't remember exactly what he went on Crow and was talking about how he had to like rethink a bunch of shit, but.
Well, I appreciated the fact that when he actually got to the fifth episode, he as his fifth episode, he retracted a lot of what he said. Is that he's like, I realized at the end of the last episode that I had gone to a building that I thought there's no way they could have built it in this time, thinking that it was an older building. And then come to find out it was actually pretty new, and they just modeled it after something that was old. And it was totally possible. He's like, right. And I had to rethink everything I thought about the construction side of the buildings and this, that original right. argument. But I did respect the fact that he closed it out with saying, hey, I realized in this journey that I was actually wrong about a few of the earlier things I said, not taking back all of it. Right. I still think that my overall idea is closer to accurate, but I was wrong about a few of these things.
And that's how an intelligent person approaches science.
Right.
You have to be able to say that
actually is science.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I think I was wrong about this, and there might be another way to do this better. Let me try that out.
Right.
I got to share something with you guys real quick. So I was playing a video game the other night, and I got into a chat group with like this. It's like random people that you play with on this game. And somebody had brought up something I had never heard of until I was thinking about it. And then I kind of started thinking about the Mandela effect, because the Mandela effect really fucks me up. because I know I remember certain shit. And they're like, nope, never existed. I'm like, fuck you. It did. Have you guys ever heard of something called Last Thursdayism?
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that with, fuck, who was it? I don't remember. But yeah, the simulation started last Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have not. Please explain.
No. So like the official, unofficial definition of Last Thursdayism. It's so funny because like if you pull up, like I have another monitor and like a summarized version of it. It says Last Thursdayism, also known as Last Tuesdayism or Last Wednesdayism. I'm like, you could just say fucking Fridayism and Saturdayism. Doesn't matter.
Just throw an ism in some shit.
I think it's so just because Thursday is so random that they're like, fucking yeah. Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy was explaining it and I was like, whoa, you're telling this to the wrong guy, dude. Like, because most people are like, that's weird. All right. Anyways, two on the left. Here we go. I was like, no, I got to pull this shit up. So Last Thursdayism is the idea that basically everything in existence was created last Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, right? And all evidence of things previous to that were just placed to make it appear as if it had been there for a very long time. And that there's no way for us to even know because we were just put here last Thursday. So all like previous memories, previous like fossils and historical artifacts.
And then you wake up knowing last Thursday was fuck, dude. That's really fucked up.
Fornication under consent of king.
So if you try to disprove this theory, you would take pictures of yourself every day and record yourself. However,
it wouldn't matter.
But it would know, the sim would know that you were going to do that. So obviously it would plant tons of videos in your history.
Just looping.
Slipping, showing that dude. You did that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a refresh rate type of thing. And it's like updates for your phone. Cool. You update it and it wipes out everything else. And some things are familiar and look the same, but other things are different.
Even that, if it was made last Thursday or, you know, in the future, you wouldn't know the difference because if you took them now, but then, you know, this isn't real or your memory gets wiped and you wake up next Thursday, you wouldn't have the memory of taking it the week before. Because it was just made that day. Your memories for previous to that could be whatever the fuck it is that they wanted.
Right, exactly. It's like Dark City. If you guys have seen that movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. We'll see. So this... I feel terrible
about it. I don't like it.
I remember how we got on the topic. I jumped into the chat and they were talking about Napoleon. And all I said was, but was he real? And the guy was like, what? I go, yeah, Napoleon, was he real? And he goes, dude, you sound like a Last Thursdayism. And I was like, what is that?
The Napoleon thing is fucked up, though, dude.
Yeah, Napoleon.
Because it very well could have been fucking, oh, last Thursday he was a painting. When no, he was really fucking Apollo. And that's who they've been talking about the whole time.
And as far as you know, that works because for as long as you've known, it's exactly. Been that.
God damn it.
Dude. I got to text my wife. What did we do fucking ago. Last Thursday? She's going to be like, I don't remember. God damn it.
I don't remember yesterday.
We record our shows every Thursday. That helps.
So sure? That's when my wife and I record our show.
Nope. We'll call that circumstantial evidence.
By the way, yeah. Jen, all of those episodes were just uploaded last Thursday.
I'm sure they were.
I've actually never even talked to you guys before. It's crazy. Yeah.
You guys are just memories in a.
Well, that's the whole premise of Dark City. Have you guys seen Dark City? Where they
aliens? No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. I don't. All right.
Don't spoil anything.
I don't want to mess it up. But okay, so the premise is this guy wakes up and kind of realizes that he's in a different circumstance than he was the previous day. It's an older movie. It's a great concept, though. So talking about Last Thursdayism, you guys should. Watch it tonight. Just go watch Dark City. I won't say anymore.
Do you think that plays into Mandela, though, at all?
I mean, it could. Maybe there's bugs in the code, you know? Or
there always is.
Yeah.
Deja
vu. It would have to play into it, but I would think that the Mandela effect would be more like a glitch in the system that we're remembering. For instance, Joe tested this because we even asked people. We were trying to make plans around the holidays, and we thought for sure that Thanksgiving was on the
24th Thursday of the month.
The third Thursday of November.
Yeah. It always has been the third Thursday of the month. I can swear to God Thursday of November. No, Thanksgiving.
It's the last. No. It's the fourth Thursday in November.
Yeah. Since when?
Since always.
That's what I said. I noticed here's it like 2 years ago.
There's not always, is there always four Thursdays in November, though?
It's yeah. Yes. So here's the really crazy part is that Joe goes, there's no way. Well, my mom, she calls her actual physical calendar her brains. She writes everything on it. And then she fucking keeps them. So Joe, when we went like to their
diary.
House.
It's like a weird
archive
diary.
Of calendars.
It's fucking, yeah. It's wild. But it was just all created last Thursday. So he goes and pulls out an old...
He goes, dude, fornicate under consent of king yourself, dude.
You're welcome. Pop. So he went and pulled out an old calendar from like 2002. And sure as shit, it was on the fourth Thursday of that year. Oh, so then he pulled out the next year. One. And every year that he pulled out a calendar from 20, 25, 10 years, it was always on the fourth. And then he brings it up to me, he goes, when's Thanksgiving? Like, when does it fall in the month? And I was like, it's the third Thursday of the month. And he's like, it's not, though. And I just checked. I'm like, what?
That one blew my brain out because roughly, as with every Mandela effect, roughly half the people remember it one way and the other half remember it another way. It's the same thing with whatever some of the famous ones, like the...
Berenstain.
Yeah. And then there's other ones.
Azam.
I mean, but Nelson Mandela dying.
I talked about the Thanksgiving thing. It was about 50% of them were like, it's not on the third Thursday of the month.
I always thought it was. I remember having that conversation with my mom I was in school.
Dude, yes.
Yeah, because I would always ask her, hey, when is Thanksgiving? Because I'm trying to figure out when I'm out of school. Oh, it's always the third Thursday. It's always the third Thursday.
And it was always exactly 1 month before Christmas.
Yes.
So you knew that if Christmas was on the 25th, then that means Thanksgiving had to be on the 23rd, the 24th, or the 25th, yes. Leaving exactly 1 week, which would mean another Thursday would be in that month. We're all fucking wrong, bro.
There's no fucking
wrong.
Way. There's no way.
I for sure was wrong.
It's a human thing. It's a very human thing to notice those word patterns too. Like an AI, a simulation wouldn't notice that. Us as humans notice third Thursday. It's two THs. It's that sound.
Right.
We would 100% know if it was the fourth Thursday. That doesn't blow. That doesn't.
I think big country checked out.
Thursday just blows off the tongue.
A while ago.
That's why this one blew my head out so much. Is because. That's something I would swear to God on a stack of Bibles.
Yeah.
It was the third Thursday of the
I'm
month.
I'm going to ask my wife. I need to know like if she's from the same dimension as me.
Do it.
Wait.
Do it all
on.
Day tomorrow to random people that you know. No context. What?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Like, when does Thanksgiving fall in November? Just ask.
It'll be roughly 50% of people that, I mean, maybe now, maybe it's the update version 10.2 of this dimension is complete and most people remember it as the fourth Thursday now.
Oh, so Joe and I actually were just talking last night, just real quick, that, I mean, and this is obviously just a theory that we've heard or been told, whatever, that our cells completely change every 7 years. So depending on what year you were born, you're a completely different person every 7 years. So I was telling Joe, I'm like, hey, maybe we're just flipping dimensions every 7 years. So I got here 9 years ago. So about 2 years ago, I flipped. Like, I'm a new gen. Like, 2 years ago, I'm a different.
Oh, you are a new gen.
God damn.
You're different. Like, Joe is
throwing a whole lot at me right now.
Sorry. But we both changed. So, like, you just switched dimensions. Well, and so everyone around you is different every 7 years.
What blew my mind about that, because I totally forgot about that, Jen. The crazy part about that is that you're never technically ever the same, because it's kind of like, it's not like you start and finish 7 years and then after 7 years you start again. No, right. It's like this snowball effect of like what changed yesterday might start changing again in a week. And then what ended last year is going to be changing after that. It's like, it's this
morphing
amalgamation. Yeah. Of like everything changing. It's just that by the end of 7 years, all of your cells will have been replaced.
Right. So I could have the same balls as 5 years ago, but I could like my fingers could be totally new. Like, I don't know.
I can tell you right now, my dick is very disappointing.
Well, but see, that's what we were talking to Boya that time with Chris about how, like, because Chris is older than me and Boya, so he remembered certain things about the Mandela effect that were like, dude, you're crazy. Like, it's never been that way.
Yeah.
Oh, now, like, granted, he's a lizard things. Guy. Like, he's a lizard guy. So that's a
self-admitted lizard guy.
But then we talked about the fact that he's on a different timeline than we are because he was born in a different year than we are. So his reset of 7 years is different than our set of seven. And that's, and by the way, seven is the year is the number of completion. So every 7 years you're resetting and completing. So we're starting to remember things differently because our 7 years are, it's going to be different than everybody's unless you were born that year, you were born that month, you're born in that zodiac sign or whatever the fuck.
Me and your wife will always fucking remember shit then.
Uh-huh. Me and your son will always remember stuff.
That's so weird, dude.
What were you saying, babe?
No, I was just saying that we added in this. I'm saying exactly what Big Country is saying, that you're flipping timelines every 7 years, but you'll go along with the same people as long as you're in that
cycle you're with them. Flipping with it.
But Joe and I were born, 6 years apart? So we get to spend 6 years together, and then we're like, peace, bitch. It was nice knowing you. I hope the next reincarnation of me likes you as much as I do now.
If anybody's interested, I know we've mentioned a bunch of different audio dramas we listen to, but one I found not that long ago, and I blew through it, is called The Program. It's just called The Program, and it is great. If you want an interesting take on, it's futuristic sci-fi type shit, but it's actually kind of more like Black Mirror for audio. It's
okay, so it's an anthology.
It is, but it's all set in the same world, so it doesn't really feel like an anthology because I usually hate those. But it is kind of, it's like Black Mirror for your ears. And
so the narrator is always the same though. Like the narrator will come in. The narrator will come in and say like, "This is happening here," and it's the same voice every time.
Okay.
And but the stories are all a little bit different, and then some of them kind of piggyback off each other.
They all
little,
have different styles.
Most of it's an anthology.
Okay.
Is this by Ivan Mirko S?
I think IMS. So because he goes by IMS. Yeah. But no, it's not the same narrator every time. He introduces the show every time, but then it's a different cast of characters or somebody else telling the story or whatever.
That's cool.
It's really good, and they have some real interesting ideas on simulation, and they don't it's funny because their take on it, you could probably disagree with the way they do it sometimes, but it's still good. It's still good stories, and it's still in the Black Mirror sci-fi type of vein, but if anybody's interested,
version of how the world could be right now.
Yeah, that's why it's Black
a lot
Mirror.
Of episodes too. I'd say 20 or 30. Oh,
the cool. show is captivating. Highly recommend if you're just at work. If you have a job where you can plug an earpod, like an earbud in, and just listen to podcasts all day.
Yeah.
Listen to The Program.
This is why I'm
and start from the beginning and why listen to the end.
I do have a job like that. I put in an earbud that lasts 2 days with a charge, which is crazy.
All right,
and I just blow
it.
Through
I'm
shit.
Just saying.
How about them new iPhones? Where you at with that USB-C?
Yeah.
Huh? Talking all that shit on Samsung and Android users, huh? What's up now? You can't can't borrow my charger, motherfucker.
I still got Lightning, dude. I have an old ass iPhone. It's like an 11, I think. So
yeah, I think we have iPhone 11s.
What's up, Davey?
Lightning.
Never update. Never update.
Never update.
I don't think I will. I mean, whatever.
There was a really good audio podcast that Jordan Peele did. Or he produced it.
You mean like a serialized podcast?
No. Well, okay. So it's called The Quiet Part Loud. And essentially, it's like a horror podcast. And it's episodic. And they're really short. They're like 15, 20 minutes each.
Okay.
The protagonist is definitely a person that if you were to hear him and think about him and listen to him, you're like, oh, he's talking about Alex Jones.
oh, yes. Yes. I'm listening to that.
Okay. It's really good. And he talks about the djinn and all that stuff and about the bombings from these terrorist group and all that stuff. And he's like, they're trying to kill us all. And I rise up and take back the country.
Turn of the freaking frogs gay.
Yeah.
yes.
Wasn't wrong.
Hasn't been wrong yet.
But it's really, really good. Now, obviously, like you can see very early on, there's like a lot of propaganda in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot. Yeah. He's a huge lefty. His work is great, though.
But that one is actually really, really good. That's I mean, if you can just file the propaganda in a brain of compartmenting your brain of don't care and just listen for the entertainment, it's actually really good.
It's all right. Listen with an open ear, I guess. You know, that's fair.
An open ear.
Yeah, what, what's it called? I really like horror podcasts.
It's called The Quiet Part Loud.
Yeah, it's
good. Part Loud. Okay.
I'll add it in because I always need new shit to listen to.
Yeah. Or the No Sleep podcast. That's great.
No, I appreciate the recommendation, but I think I'm going to skip that one.
It's not as scary as you think it is. It's all.
Everybody said that about The Grudge, and then I watched it in theaters when it came out, and I about shit my fucking pants.
Some of them are pretty scary. Some of them are extremely entertaining. Like there was one because they do something for like each holiday, right? There's like a special thing going on, and they're like in their like fucking 20th season or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, but there was one like series that they did and it was super cool. It was like, I believe it was in either Ireland or Scotland, and there was like this mystical bar there, and behind the like in the bar were all these different like creatures posing as humans. Like there was a guy who was a giant squid type monster who would slither into this fat body and then go there and just eat and eat and eat and eat. And then sometimes he might like eat a person, you know? And then there's like this huge battle between these fucking monsters. It's fucking really good. So you get stuff like that. And then you get like the murders and, you know, the more like traditional horror type stories. It's a fun podcast. They've been around.
The problem I have with horror podcasts is they most of them are entertaining. I've listened to a few of them, especially if they're a little sci-fi. I'm a sucker for that. But
yeah,
most of the time, a horror podcast is the same to me as a horror movie, where it's not actually scary. It's just gross.
Yeah,
like the sound effects are like ew. Like I'm not scared. It's just
welching.
Yeah. You're making me think of this disgusting thing. You're not even showing it to me. What the fuck? Damn you.
Well, guys, so we gotta close out. Ben's got a AMSR. And go night night, as he sent me a message about poo poo pee pee and night night.
Nice.
I don't have a poo poo word. Wait, do I? Hang on.
We double fart it.
That's doo doo butt. Pee and poop. Where's my pee and poop button? What the hell?
Pee and poop.
All right, there we go. Well, guys, anything else you want to add? I know you're making a documentary still, right? A 9/11 doc. Is that we're in it? We're apparently going to be.
Yep. Still working on that, and I'm actually had to have a lot more time to work on it now that the book is done and out. Nice. I was trying to do too many things at once, and it just was not working. So I was like, okay, one thing at a time. Let's hit one. Let's hit the other one. So yeah, still working on that 9/11 documentary. I'm debating on how like I want to really like what angle do I want to put on it, because if you're in this community, for sure not 19 hijackers, right? Right. For sure. Right. The question is what actually happened that day, right? And so I have a lot of people that submitted videos about what they remember. I just want to be very clear that whenever the doc comes out, I'm probably going to put some type of disclaimer in there that like just because these people were in this telling what they remember about that day does not necessarily
they agree with our views.
They agree with the view that we're going to maybe present the documentary in. So, but yeah, that's something we're working on, but
sounds good. Text me or email me a link to your book and all that.
Yeah.
What is the name of your book?
It's called Pawns in a Game, The Flat Motionless Earth.
Nice.
Okay.
And I'm sure you have pictures of that document that you found. That what was that from? Test flights or something? I can't remember. Is that whole thing got it on Instagram?
Yeah, that is the document from NASA. It is called The Definition and Derivation of Linear Aircraft Flight. It's a 180-page paper that you can find. It's a PDF on NASA's website where they summarize that the Earth is a flat stationary plane. That's how they model aircraft.
Yeah, and somebody was like, oh, well, that's just modeling. And you're like, that's probably fucking important when you're actually doing physics.
I looked into this, actually, because I saw your post, but it was a couple of years ago at this point. But every document that I found says, we modeled this test over a flat stationary plane, and this happened. And I was, the first thing that I thought of was, why would you fucking do that?
Yeah,
that's exactly. The last thing you should do if you want to see how an aircraft will perform under conditions that it's going to have to face. Yeah. Why would you do something completely different?
See? And you're not even an aero engineer.
That's like testing a car based on rules of flight.
Right.
That's something's going to go wrong. Yeah. It's pulling on the ground. It's not flying. Yeah,
being a mechanic, I'll tell you right now, when you're building something that has to contain thousands of tiny explosions every minute, you kind of have to be precise.
Yeah. Or
it's a little
bad things. Yeah.
Yeah. Explosions. Yeah.
It's fine. It was 19 hijackers and jet fuel. It all just happened last Thursday. Anyway.
Now go back to sleep. Yeah.
God damn it.
All right, guys. Love you mucho. And we'll get back on with you guys again soon. But
yes,
I think we're done for tonight. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Great.
Yeah. Dark Sim. Yeah. Sure. And the program audio drama series. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Peace and love.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.